In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Three times within the same verse, God reveals the disciples' lack of understanding. They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. They know what the words mean. They know the concepts and ideas behind those words. They know where Jerusalem is, who the Gentiles are, what mocking and being spit upon and insulted and flogging and crucified and killed and even resurrection. They know what all of that means. So it's not the concepts that they fail to understand. It's the why. They don't understand how any of this brings about the kingdom of God, defeats their enemies, or makes their life better. The why eludes them. And that is true even with the Emmaus disciples. They know the facts and the history, but they don't get the why. Even at the ascension, they're still questioning why these things happened. Lent is only a few days away. Ash Wednesday begins this Wednesday. We are beginning a journey to a cross, to Easter. We know the facts, we know the details, we know the history, Gethsemane, Caiaphas, Pilate, Calvary, an empty tomb. We know the order and progression, and thanks be to God for that. We need to know the facts and the history of our Lord's death and resurrection, probably better even than what we already know them. But let us not follow the disciples and stop there, or else we will end up being clueless like those disciples. Let us grasp the why. Why he went to the cross. Why he rose from the dead. Every Christian knows the what, and again, thanks be to God for that, but it's easy for us to forget the why, because a sinful flesh still burdens. A sinful flesh still distracts. A sinful flesh still troubles us and wants to lead us away from God and his love. It wants us to be in that same state and condition as the disciples, to know all the facts and information so we can pass the test, but to not realize why Christ accomplished all of that. How deadly that sinful mind is. It's worse off. The man ruled by his sinful mind is worse off than a blind man. Original sin burdens. And this is ultimately the reason why Jesus has to go to a cross and has to suffer so much, because so great is our own fallen flesh. We can't even perceive the depths of its own depravity. Original sin is the lack of holiness, the lack of righteousness, the lack of life. St. Paul says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So life is not breathing air. Life is faith in Christ. Your faith has made you well, Jesus said. So it's not the words and the actions and the thoughts that make us sinful, but it's our sinful flesh that makes the words and the actions and the thoughts sinful. What you do simply reveals your heart. But we're not simply dead corpses, empty of all good things. We also were filled with a desire to sin. And that sin in and of itself was condemning. This is what original sin or inherited sin is. Our problem was not how we interacted with one another. Our problem was our relationship with God. It was a first commandment issue. You shall have no other gods. Our sinful flesh never fears God, but hates him, never loves God, never trusts in God, but assumes that all that God does is actually meant for our evil. Our sinful flesh doesn't want the good things of God, but wants to become its own God, so it can determine its own life, its own choices, its own worldview. And so it cannot understand why God would allow this or that in the world, this or that in my life. Somehow God must be an evil judge, a harsh judge, ready to jump down our throats, so our sinful flesh thinks. It's not simply the weakening of human ability, but original sin is actually the redirection of human ability toward a different God. So again, the question is not, have you sinned against your fellow neighbor? The question is, how do you stand before God? And if we have a sinful flesh inherited from our parents, then that sinful flesh always stands in rebellion against God. And it never wants to stop. That can only be received by faith. Yet if we do not understand how serious our fallen nature is, then we will not understand why Christ had to suffer in such gruesome and harsh ways. Like the disciples, we'll assume all of that was for those bad people over there, and we will forget that all of that was for me, because that's how evil and wicked this fallen nature is. God cannot simply overlook sin. He can't simply turn a blind eye and give us blessings. He must be just and the justifier. So God cannot dwell among sinners, holiness cannot dwell among sin, and life and death cannot live together. His own holiness would destroy them. And so here is God's solution. Not a better government, not better friends, not better experiences in your life, not a better life situation. Here is God's solution. Going to Jerusalem, handed over to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, spit upon, flogged, beaten, crucified, and buried. And on the third day, he rises. This is how God deals with sin and the sinful flesh. He takes it upon his own shoulders so that he might be the one in whom there is life, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. For us men and for our salvation, he went to the cross. This is the why. The why of the cross is so that you might have life. God saves with blood, with cross, with death, so that all of those things might be spared from you. Yet the blood must be more than simply a man's blood, for no man, Scripture says, can redeem his brother. Every man who was born in the natural way, that is, with an earthly father and an earthly mother, has inherited original sin. Not one person is free from it. Which means all people who have a father and a mother, an earthly father and an earthly mother, stand in rebellion against God by virtue of that sinful flesh. So Christ is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Christ is born of the Virgin Mary, that he might be pure and spotless and holy. He earned a righteousness that we could not earn. God is man, so that his blood might save us from our own sinful flesh. He is the eternal God. And Jesus, in this text before us, calls himself the eternal God when he says, the Son of Man. That stretches our minds back to Daniel, who saw the Son of Man coming and approaching the Ancient of Days. And the Son of Man received all power and glory and dominion and might and all worship from every nation, tribe, and language. God alone is to be worshipped. So the Son of Man is a divine title. God is man. not simply to be worshipped, God is man so that he might shed his blood to redeem men and be worshipped and praised for his work in our salvation. So Jesus tells his disciples of death and of resurrection. He tells them of pain and of suffering. He tells them of victory and conquest, of the removal of sin and forgiveness and reconciliation with God, and they understand none of it. Blinded by their own fallen flesh of what they think God should be, they don't understand why he has come. So with the eyes of the blind man, let us see Jesus as the Son of David, the great King of heaven and earth who rules over all things by his cross. With the eyes of the blind man, let us see the righteous one hanging in the place of us who are unrighteous, the holy one in the place of sinners, the pure in the place of the impure, the creator in the place of his creatures, life itself hanging in the place of death, and God dying for us men and for our salvation. There is hope. There is peace. There is joy. No angel helped him. No disciple urged him forward. We have but one Savior, one Lord, one Redeemer. There is but one name under heaven by which we must be saved. Thank God that we were not there, for like the disciples, we probably also would have been confused. Thank God that we were not there, for like the disciples, we probably also would have fled. Or worse, we know our sinful flesh. But thank God that Jesus did not flee, that he remained firm and steadfast to the end. All alone, abandoned by all, forsaken by the Father, there is life in his blood. Thanks be to God that we are no longer stuck with just a sinful flesh. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You are a new creation, buried and raised with Christ through faith by the power of his death and resurrection. You are holy and righteous saints of God, free from all sin, because of what God has done for you. So your standing before God is not sinner before the Almighty. Your standing before God is holy, righteous, saint of God because of Christ. So Lent comes to us once more. Ash Wednesday is but 3 days away. Lent is not a time for sadness, but a time for us to realize what is real in our life, to see the love that God has for the whole world. Yes, it's a time of pain and suffering. It's a time of blood and death. But understand the why, for us men and for our salvation. There is life in his name. He took away all sin. He paid for original sin. He set you free from the curse, so that way sin can control you no more. At the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus about his own death and resurrection, and they find joy in that. Let us imitate Moses and Elijah, not the clueless disciples. Let us see his death and resurrection as the very heart and center of our entire life, for by it we are reconciled to God and stand before God in the blood of Christ. Let us imitate them. Tears may flow as we realize the cost. Tears may flow as we see the severity of our own sinful nature and what it justly deserves. But joy will also follow as we see that it's not our hands, our feet, our side, or our brow. It's the Son of Man, our Lord and God. It's great David's greater son. He holds the field forever. this death is the power of God for the salvation of men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.